What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happened to her brother? Was he possessed by a demon? Or what could it have been?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share your real ghost stories with us. It's easy to call them in, 855-853-4802. It's easy to write them in. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And you could also become a premium subscriber. That way you don't get the commercials. You will also get advance episodes and you will get access to the archive, which, by the way, is massive. There are so many, like Tony and I were talking the other day. I think you'd have to listen, like he said, probably like a year solid, like never stopping 24 hours a day. He might be right. Or maybe he said 5 years. I don't know what it was, but it was a long time. You can also sign up through Patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today. So I would not like that, you know, when we were younger and our brother Gary, he's a great guy.
Oh, he's the best.
You know, and he could be a little shit when we were kids. But yeah. There was not one time I thought he was possessed by a demon. Not one time.
I got to think about that.
Was he ever? Carol, check. Yes. She was. Gary, I don't think so.
Does, yeah.
It's like, what's the matter with you?
I don't believe any of the children in our family were possessed. There were times I would question my mom, but the kids, no.
I shouldn't laugh, but yes, a truer statement has never been said. And I don't mean that in a mean way, just an honest way.
Just, yeah. Just be real.
What
it is. Yeah, just what
There's
it is.
People out there right now go, oh, yeah, I can get that.
Oh, hell yeah. My mom, right there.
Hopefully yeah. your children aren't listening. Oh, yeah, mom. No, you were never like that. So here's what happened. It says, this experience didn't happen to me. I'm honestly happy to say it didn't. It happened to my younger brother when we were kids. I don't remember how old we were exactly, but I do remember the events clearly as if it only happened yesterday. We lived in a duplex. My grandparents lived upstairs and we lived directly under them. We, my mom, brother, and I, we always spent more time in my grandparents' home than we did in our own. We're all very close. I think that is a really great setup. Mm-hmm. So mom can go to work, do whatever she needs to do. Kids can go up to grandma and grandpa's house. And
yeah,
that's a really good deal. Well, one evening, we were all up at my grandma's house, although this part that's coming up, maybe these grandparents, I don't know, the grandma in particular. It says, my brother and I started arguing over an iPod, you know, the typical situation where kids won't share. My mom started lecturing my brother about being nice, but he only threw a larger fit. We weren't the type of kids to ever do that, so I was honestly in shock that he was behaving that way. My mom told him to go home if he couldn't be nice, the equivalent of go to your room, I guess. Instead of deciding sharing was best, my brother decided he'd rather go home. On the way downstairs, my grandma tells my brother, this is the part that cracks me up.
Okay.
My grandma tells my brother that Satan loves bad kids who don't listen.
No, think about it. She may have a point, right? Like, I love this. Grandma, you know how I've always said that superstitions are just the way mothers get their kids to do shit. So, for example, like, you don't want a kid to play with a mirror. What's the worst thing that could happen? 7 years of bad luck, right? You just throw everything at them, you know, and say, oh my gosh, you can't walk under a ladder because, you know, you're going to have bad luck. And then all these horrible things happen. So that's what I'm thinking is happening here. The grandma, he's walking downstairs and go, yep, Satan likes bad kids.
Well, and yeah. I just have this vision of grandma either in the kitchen or in the living room, like in a recliner. And all this is going down. And then she's like, Satan loves bad kids who don't listen to their parents.
That's right. Like, kids. Mothers and grandmothers just throw shit at kids all the time like that, you know. She's, like, you're bad, and everybody really thinks you're bad, except Satan loves you.
Because you're a bad kid, so Satan loves you.
Yes.
And she says, it's what we grew up hearing. And then here's another quote. The devil's going to come get you if you don't listen to your parents.
Okay.
Grandma. My God. Oh, she said, but this is the creepy part. So then she says, okay. I don't think I ever believed any of it until that night.
Okay.
My brother stormed off with a I don't give a fuck type of attitude, even said he wasn't scared. He didn't seem fazed at all. I saw him confidently leave, and there was no hesitation in the way he stomped down those stairs or slammed both doors shut behind him. About 5 minutes later, my uncle comes upstairs. He was getting home from work, and he's carrying my brother up the stairs. He said he found him on the walkway from our door to grandma's, curled up in a ball, shaking violently and unable to speak. It was literally just a bunch of sounds mixed together, but nothing anyone could understand. All the color was completely drained from his face. We talked to him, but he couldn't hear us. It was like he was gone. My mom kept yelling at him to answer her, but he couldn't seem to be able to hear her or even see anyone. He wouldn't react. My mom suddenly slapped him, and things seemed to register. He looked around and started sobbing in a way he hadn't before that night or ever since. When he finally calmed down enough to talk, he told us what had happened. He said that as soon as he slammed our door shut, he heard this slow, heavy breathing in our house. He said it came from all directions, so he didn't know where to look for it. I don't know why he didn't get out at that point, but he decided to go to his room. Before entering the hall, he described the feeling all the hairs on his body stood on end. Still, he moved forward. There was a huge antique mirror in our hallway. He looked into the mirror on his way to his room, and he said he stopped in his tracks. He said that the thing in the mirror took up the whole mirror. He said it had horns and it looked like it wasn't in the mirror, but right behind him. He said he felt the most fear he's ever felt and helplessness all at once. He said that getting out of the house was the hardest thing he'd ever done. He said his legs felt so heavy, as if he had weights too heavy for him to lift. He said he had felt as if all his energy was leaving him. As he was looking at the thing in the mirror, he said the breathing never stopped. My uncle was so shook up by this that he went downstairs to investigate himself. He never found anything, but I'm assuming he was scared because he came up as quickly as he went down. My brother never described what he saw in detail. He refused to give any other details other than what I share here. I asked him about it the other day, and he got extremely serious and said, you don't ever want to see him. Don't ever ask me again. He's an open book, but this is the one thing he gets upset over when asked. I have other stories to share with you guys, ones I've experienced myself. They're all pretty dark, and I've never told anyone but a few people. I'll look forward to sharing soon. Take care, Alessandra. Now, I wonder if Grandma quit saying that.
I was going to say, there you go, Grandma, just throwing Satan around like it's nothing, right? And then until one day it sticks.
And then one day Satan's like, aha, bad kid. I like the bad kids.
Yeah, right.
I'm assuming the brother, like, was perfect angel the rest of his life. Because after that incident, yeah. I'm not fighting over an iPod or anything else. Don't care.
The mirror thing is super creepy. I there's always that thing that I know the feeling when, you know, you're in front of a mirror and you just know if you look, you know, if you open your eyes, if you look, that something's going to be back there. So you just keep looking kind of down, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that feeling that all of a sudden you've got something that's like that antique mirror, she said.
You know, and at first it kind of sounded like when she's describing it, I'm like, well, maybe the poor little guy had a seizure.
But that's what I thought. That was exactly my
mirror
thought.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grandma, you got to watch that shit.
Could it just have been a seizure mixed with, you know, horrible, you know, nightmarish sort of visions things?
I don't know. It could be.
I mean, it never seemed to happen again, right? That she knows of anyway.
You know,
he's never told her it happened again.
And I'd be interested to know, because she does say there are other stories. Were these stories that happened in that house, that duplex? You know, were there other things that happened there too? Because if there were other things that happened there, I might lean more towards he was seeing some scary shit. But, you know, it's kind of hard to tell. That would be a weird thing. Just as a one-off, the only thing that ever happened there was that.
Yeah, because you would think that if something was that ominous in the house, they'd have all felt it, sensed it, had an experience, some other things would have happened. So she might be able to put some light on that.
Yeah, so I don't know, but it definitely, definitely, definitely feels paranormal to me because that's some creepy stuff.
Yeah, no, right now I'm leaning that way, but... Also, the state he was in when the uncle found him just did remind me of a seizure.
Yeah, I would just really like to know if anything else happened there.
Yeah, I think that might help shed some light on it.
Well, let's go to our next story.
Okay.
Hi there, my name is Summer, and I'm calling from Southern California. I love your show. It's quite fun, especially on my drives, as everyone shares. I wanted to share some stories about the Queen Mary. My father actually came over on the last trip it made from England to America. So I've been sentimental about the Queen Mary. I used to go ghost hunting around there when I was much younger, and eventually I worked there. But a couple of stories I wanted to share. So one of them was when I was first starting to try and explore the Queen Mary, and I'd have my voice little recording device, and my friends and I would get all geared up and excited to check out some areas that maybe we shouldn't have been in. And there's a lot of really interesting parts of the ship. I don't know how familiar people are with the Queen Mary, but it's a huge ship. It was in the war. Back during the war, it was called the Gray Ghost. It was painted all gray and camouflaged so it could be used during the war. And there were some accidents where there was a hull breach and people were unfortunately killed in an accident. They used to hold prisoners of war, and there was even a small jail and morgue that most people don't see on the actual ship. It's been through many lifetimes of uses. One time when I was trying to explore and didn't know much about the history, I got down into an area where they have a lot of these big, beautiful, empty banquet rooms, and they're all closed off and dark, and a lot of the windows are very pretty wood frames, and the doors also are wood frames with glass, so you can see parts of the room even if the doors are closed and locked. And the stairs kind of remind me of something of The Shining, older carpeting and spiral stairways going to the different levels of the ship. Excuse me. And one time I was by myself in an area where nobody was using it. It was very quiet. And as I walked by one of the ballrooms, it was very dark, and I looked in. And I don't know if anyone's seen someone wearing white shirts or clothing in the black light, but it glows almost like a purple. And it was as if there was a black light on in the banquet room and someone with a white dress just ran by. And I did a full-on Flintstones move and ran so fast. I actually skidded past the stairway I was trying to get to escape, and was quite out of breath and scared. And I actually told a guard up above that I had just seen someone running in the banquet room wearing all white, and she disappeared, and it was really scary. And he said, oh, you just saw the white lady. She's known on the ship. And if you actually go to the other end, there's a plaque about her. There's been lots of sightings about the white lady. And so that was really interesting. I'm glad I hadn't read about it first. I wasn't looking for it. So it just seemed to kind of confirm that experience. I also snuck down to the pool that was closed and took an audio recorder, walked through the very dark and spooky row of dressing rooms, which was quite intense. And we did catch a lot of interesting noises after, including the sound of water droplets, even though the pool is completely dry and empty. One of the most interesting things that happened was in the engine room. So the story goes there was an engineer named John, I don't recall his last name, in the 70s, who would do what some of the men would do sometimes once the Queen Mary was docked, and I believe it was still in Long Beach at that time. And they'd play chicken with the watertight doors that would close. They would occasionally have to do drills to make sure that the doors were functioning properly. And he decided to try and go back and forth, and unfortunately, he did not make it. And so he was killed at door 13 in the engine room. And supposedly he haunts that space. Getting down to the engine room, I don't know if any of you have seen Nightmare on Elm Street and the boiler room where Freddy is, but it is very creepy. And they actually open it up if anyone's in the Southern California area. It's wonderful fun. During Halloween, you can actually go to these parts of the ship that are usually restricted, and they have actors in there trying to scare you. But we decided to go look for door 13 in the engine room. And we did have a little recording device with us. And we walked through several arches and doorways. No one was down there again. We were kind of exploring on our own. And we all got the chills and got scared and ran as we left the last doorway. We went up an escalator. And later we asked somebody, we just said, you know, if we come back and ever do the tour, where's this door 13 we've heard of? And they say, oh, next time you go to the engine room, as you go through the last door, turn around, you'll see door 13 is what you just went through. It's right before the escalator. And sure enough, we did go sneak back down immediately, went through that door and turned around. On the other side of the door was the 13. And that's where we all got the chills and just ran. We felt like something was there. So I did take a friend back who was a non-believer, very tall, strong guy, athletic, always joking around. He's not afraid of anything. He's, I think, 6'4". Very young. And so I said, well, let's see what he thinks. He's feeling brave. Let's give him this experience. So we went actually a different time. This was a couple of months later, back to the engine room. And as he walked through that door and I walked through the door, same thing. He got scared. He actually ran almost to the parking lot and through the elevator down below. He was so scared. He said he was never going back on that ship and he felt uncomfortable. So I thought, well, this seems like a hot spot. Let's bring a video camera. Fortunately, we didn't get any images, but I went with, it was my boyfriend at the time, he's now my husband, to that area. And it was really interesting. We walked through, we know the guy's name now. We're trying to kind of see if we can provoke some sort of, you know, evidence on tape. And as we went through the door, you know, again, you kind of feel this heightened sense like someone's there and you're being watched. And as we were on the escalator, it was two things that happened that were very, very unnerving and intriguing. One was as we were going up the escalator, my husband was filming and I was in front of him and it's just the two of us. And because it's an engine room, there's a lot of metal and everything echoes. You could hear our footsteps, but suddenly we heard more footsteps behind us. So he's filming, and I hear this, and I said, stop, shh, do you hear that? And he's filming, so the camera's dead still, and he stops, and you can see my feet aren't moving, and you hear the footsteps about two, three, four more steps, and then they stop too. Turns around, and there's nobody there. Definitely can hear the footsteps loud as day on the video camera, which was very interesting. So at that point, we turned around, and I said, all right, bye, door 13. And then I said, did you hear that? And my husband said, no, hear what? And I said, we have to get out of here. And we ran. Later, I get back home. I play the videotape. It's very quiet in my apartment. It was by 1 a.m. in Long Beach. And it was so, so eerie. When I said, bye, door 13, right before I say, did you hear that? you actually hear a voice say, bye, bye, bye. And it said bye 3 times. And the reason I knew it wasn't my boyfriend or even a human voice was because it's hard to explain, but the word bye overlapped each other. So it's almost like the second bye was said in the middle of the first bye being completed. And so that is not possible. I don't know anybody who can say 2 words at once. So yeah, I said bye door 13. And then right there echoed back on the video clear as day was bye, bye, bye. So that was a little bit of my stories. I have more about the Queen Mary, especially when I worked there. Lots of hauntings and interesting things. Hope you enjoyed hearing that and carry on the great work. Take care. Bye.
I really enjoyed that.
Oh, you know I did.
So
you know
good.
How much I love those history stories.
And
combined
I love
with
her
hauntings.
Fascination with it.
Like
yeah. Her connection with her dad and then, you know, going there to do investigations when she was very young, but then working there too.
Yeah, and then even working there. I can't wait till she calls in with working stories. And we can hear about some of the things that happened when she worked there. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Makes me want to go. I've always wanted to go.
I've never gone there, but I really want to.
I just saw it once when I was with 2 of your 3 kids.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, and we were going whale watching, and I didn't realize that we would be getting on our little boat right next to the Queen Mary. I'm like, shit, why are we doing whale watching?
We should be doing ghost hunting.
Dang it, I've already paid for it.
God darn.
Yeah, it is on my list of things I want to go back to do, but now neither one of your kids live there. And
no,
at the time,
I had two of them living there for a while, but then now they're all over the place.
They literally from Philadelphia to Oregon to Spain.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anybody has 3 kids more spread out.
You guys could not get farther away from me if you tried. I mean, obviously you did try because you got just as far away as you could get.
It's just.
But never mind. I will find you. I will call you.
Yeah. When you go visit, I think you're going to Greece at Christmas time.
I am.
You should see what spooky places you can find when you're there.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then, we can jump on Zoom while you're there.
Yeah.
We could get some good stories. That would be fun.
Okay.
But I just love, I'm fascinated by the Queen Mary, but I just love her story. Like, that was so good.
I do, too. I can't wait till she writes back with more.
I just love that.
I love those. I love the history ones and the hauntings with that, you know, that context that goes with them.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. Because like on the Grave Talks, whenever we talk, like tonight, I'm doing an interview in half an hour, actually, with a place called the Old Lake County Sheriff's House and Jail. And it's at Crown Point, Indiana. And I love the history of it because it's like, you know, this house built in the late 1800s, or mansion is what it looks like, built in the late 1800s. And now on the backside of it is a jail. And I just find that stuff so fascinating. So I love to talk about the history of it and what's happened there. And like, so that'll be a fun conversation tonight because that one, they said this is unescapable jail. And John Dillinger, they caught him and they put him in there and he escaped.
Oh.
So if you're going to have anybody escape, John Dillinger would be, makes a better story than Bob, you know?
Yeah.
Like Bob Rogers was here and he escaped.
And he escaped.
Probably John Dillinger.
I mean, you want it to be the Al Capone or somebody big, you know.
Exactly. And they got John Dillinger to escape.
John Dillinger, that's a good one.
It's legendary.
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde, you know,
exactly.
Something.
Exactly. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also be a premium subscriber. You'll get ad-free versions of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. You can also do it through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.